Amen. And let's read that in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read the beatitude. Are you all there? Our PowerPoint is not working this morning. And I think Hazel took to Urban that it needs an upgrade. It needs an upgrade. So we're gonna look up the Bible this morning. I like these kids, they are opening their Bible. All right. You got it there? Matthew chapter 5. Right, we'll wait. Okay. You're there already? Okay, Matthew chapter 5. It says, "Now when he saw the crowds, he went up on the mountains and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophet who were before you." Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you for your word, for your constitution, Lord, that you have given to your disciple, Father God. And Lord, this morning as we study, that we may be able, Lord, to apply this in our own lives so that we may be worthy to be called your sons and daughters of God. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit to guide us and to illuminate to us, Lord, things that we have not seen before. And Father, we thank you and we bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So we have been studying this constitution, this framework. And if you notice it, the first four verses, blessing, is about our relationship with God. Amen. The first four, which is, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So this four beatitude is about our relationship with God. And then the next four is our relationship with one another. Amen? If you notice it, the first four, it has to be on this order. Because we cannot have a relationship what God wants us unless we are right with God. See, the first four is to be right with God. So the next four is to be right with one another. Our relationship with one another. Because I cannot give you something if I have not received it from the Lord. Amen? Right, guys? Your mom and your dad could not give you something unless they received from the Lord itself. Okay? So we need to understand that. I cannot be happy, I cannot be joyful until I receive that happiness that God has given to me. Amen? So we need to understand it, or else we gonna mess up everything. Amen. So in other words, the first four deal with what it means to be a Christian. The first four, what it means to be a Christian. And then the second four deals with how a Christian ought to behave. Did you get that? The first four, our relationship with God. And the second four is our relationship with one another. It's cross. I cannot give you something if I don't receive it. And then that means that the four deals with what it means to be a Christian. And then the second four is dealing with how a Christian ought to behave. Amen? I remember the story about this guy. He went to a camp, a youth camp. And then he received the Lord. And then he went back to his office or to his home, thinking that they might notice something about him. But then when he arrived home, the parents didn't notice something about that he received the Lord. So he shared with his friend. He said, "You know what? My mom and my dad doesn't even notice that I received the Lord." See, when we become a Christian, there's something that you and I or the people will notice you. There should be a change in our attitude, in our countenance, in our what we do, in our behaving with one another. Amen? That's why this beatitude was given to us by the Lord. So that there will be a change, so that we cannot say, "You know what, I did not know what I had to do." Right? So that you will not come back here and say, "You know what, I did not learn something from Pastor Ed." That's why this beatitude was given to us, so that we will know what it means to be a Christian. Now that I am a Christian, what shall I do? Right? Because we have to be being before doing. Did you get that? Being a Christian and doing something. Being and doing. Be a Christian, then you do a Christian work. Right? Amen? Are we clear? Blessed are the poor, for theirs the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. See, we cannot, if we are not mourning, or we are not poor in spirit. Poor in spirit is that we have bankruptcy in our life. Without God, I cannot survive in this world. Being poor in spirit, I cannot see the kingdom of God if I am rich. When I come in here and say, "You know what, I don't need God." But when we come in here, "You know what, I need the Lord." Being poor in spirit, then and only then we can see the kingdom of God. Amen? And blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. If I mourn for my sin, I'm deeply sorry for my sin. The Bible says that all have sinned, right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if I'm not mourning about my sin, how can I be comforted? Comforted is the Greek word is being close and come forward to the Lord. How can I be comforted when I'm not sorry, deeply sorry about my sin? And then, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And then it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. We shared a lot of that last week, the other week, but I just wanna encourage you unless you hunger and thirst. See, if I don't eat today, Rose will say, you know what, Pastor Reid, let's eat. And then I will tell her sister Rose, you know what, I'm not hungry today. Maybe in dinner, I might be hungry. And then in breakfast, he will say again, let's eat. I said, no, I'm not hungry. And lunch, he said, let's eat, Ed. And then I said, you know what, I'm hungry. You know the first thing that Sister Rose will come to her mind? Are you sick? Because she knows that I'm always hungry. The same thing with us. How could I say I'm a Christian and then I'm not hungering the Word of God? Maybe this Sunday, you know what? I'm not going to go to church. I'm not hungry. I don't have the appetite for the Word of God. That's okay. But then on the following Sunday, you say, you know what? I don't have that feeling of going to church. Maybe that's okay. But the third Sunday, you might say, you know what? I'm still not hungry. That means you're sick if you're not hungering for the Word of God. Right? Amen? That means you are sick. You need the doctor. Right? Amen? See, blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. See, what will stop us in going to the hungering for the Word of God? See, to hunger for the Word of God, we have to go to the place where it induces you to eat, induces you to read the Word of God. It will encourage you to learn and to hear more of His Word. But if you go somewhere else where there is no righteousness, there is unrighteousness is in there, that will stop you. Your appetite is no more. Because you're induced here. You've been encouraged in this unrighteousness. So, in other words, as a Christian, we need to go to a place of righteousness. I need to fellowship with righteous people. If I am fellowshipping with unrighteous, what do you think I should result to? Unrighteousness, right? So, blessed are those who seek for righteousness. Blessed are those who seek the Word of God. And they will what? They will be filled. Amen? And that's what the Constitution says here. Amen? So now, we go to the fifth one. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Happy, in other words, happy are those who are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This is what they call boomerang. Boomerang. Boomerang, right? You know, when you throw that boomerang, it comes back to you. This is it. Because blessed are those, happy are those, merciful for what? For they will receive mercy, right? Whatever you give, it comes back to you. That's what Brother Riz is saying. Whatever you give, it comes back to you, right? Blessed are those. The person is only merciful to the level of God's desire if he or she experiences mercy. If you do not experience mercy, it's difficult to give mercy. Right? Amen? You experience mercy from God through the forgiveness of our sin by the way of repentance. You can only be happy. You are blessed through the forgiveness of sin by the way of repentance. No repentance, no forgiveness of sin. That's what the Bible says. Amen? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. I spoke to you that you cannot be happy by seeking happiness. See, the world is trying to find happiness, but you cannot be, you might be happy in the world standard, but that's only for a short moment. It's gonna gone. It's gonna be gone. Amen. So the wonder is, why is it fading? Happiness is the byproduct of what? Happiness is the byproduct of being righteous. Right? By righteousness. It is the result of being right with God. If we're not right with God, you know what? You can confess, I'm blessed, I'm happy. But it's gonna be gone. You can only be happy to the extent that you are right with God. Amen? Happiness is the result of being right with God. Amen? And there's a lot of books in what's that bookstore? Barnes and Nobles. How to be happy. A lot of that. And I mentioned it again. That pastor from Texas just released that book, The Power of I Am. And the first thing that he put there, I am happy. But how many knows the Bible's word of happiness is only through righteousness of God? Amen? Righteousness is being right with God. And righteousness means that you are living right before God. You cannot experience righteousness as you experience God's righteousness. You cannot be happy by self-righteousness. You will be happy by knowing His righteousness, by knowing God, by knowing Jesus Christ. And if you are hungry and thirsty, it's not a passive desire, it is an active desire. It is an ongoing desire to be hungry and thirsty. Amen? As a Christian, that's the ongoing. It's an active role in our life to hunger and thirst. And the same thing as being merciful. Amen? If I'm hungry and thirsty, I will go after food, right? I will go after water. I will do everything to fulfill my hunger and thirst. God wants His people to have hunger and thirst for His righteousness. Because His kingdom is about what? Righteousness, peace, and joy. You cannot experience the peace and joy unless you have the righteousness of God. Amen? That's in order. You cannot have joy and then righteousness. It has to be righteousness. It has to be, I have to be right with God if I want peace in my life and I want joy in my life. Right? Right, Apple? Amen. See? Right up. So in fact, I have to go when I am hungry, I will go to the city of God, the city of righteousness. So the house of the Lord is the place where I seek out. I will seek out the Lord. I will seek out the word of the Lord. I will do everything to hunger after that which will give me a fulfillment in righteousness. And then the Bible says that I will be blessed. I will be happy. Amen? So you are happy as you are righteous with God. And I said for a few moments ago that the person is merciful only as he experienced mercy through the forgiveness of his sin by the way of repentance. You must experience mercy through the forgiveness of repentance of your sin. Amen? If you must experience it in order for you to truly show for mercy. There is an excellent example. Please turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. And we're going to read verse 23. Are you all there? Are you there? Okay, Matthew 18, verse 23, it says, 23, therefore the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle account with his servant. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he had, that he and his wife and his children and all that he had to be sold out to repay the debt. The servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and he began to choke him. Pay back what you owe, he demanded. His fellow servant fell on his knees, begged him, and be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that has happened. Then the master called the servant. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all the debts of yours because you begged me. You begged me too. Should you have had mercy on your fellow servant, just as I had on you? And anger, his master turned him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay back what he owed. So Jesus is simply saying to us here that in order for us to show mercy, we need to understand what God has done for us. We need to understand the tremendous act of mercy and grace that was given for us. The constitution of the kingdom of God, or the beatitude that Jesus Christ is teaching, is in sequence to, is a formal, it's a normal Christian living. This beatitude, this teaching of Jesus Christ is norm. It's not for high, for a holy rulers or holy people. This is not for the Pope or the priest. This is for you and me, ordinary people. Amen? It's for you and me. So in order for us to understand the steps that being brought us to this verse is that we start with blessing, happy are the poor in spirit. And the result of repentance of our sin is salvation. There are no shortcuts. This principle does not apply to our original conversion. See, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, there's grace and mercy was instituted for us. Paul in Ephesians said that by faith we receive mercy and grace of our sin and our salvation. So, but this is not the grace and mercy that Paul is talking about in our original conversion when you first received the Lord. Amen? This is after. This is you and I now. That this is the kind of lifestyle. This is how we behave in the constitution, in the kingdom of God. Amen? In order for us to enjoy what God has installed for us, we can enjoy it here in this side of the cross. Amen? Because there is no shortcuts. There's steps that God wants us to do. Amen? Blessed, happy are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. They are going to enjoy earth. You and I, as we follow this constitution, we can enjoy the earth. Amen? While you are still here. While you and I are still here. See, this is the kind of attitude is a result of recognizing that we are God's children. Amen? So we study that. The blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be filled. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. How can I be merciful? I am merciful because I receive God's mercy. Amen? Now that I receive God's mercy, I can be merciful to my brothers and sisters and to other people. Again, this is a normal Christian living. Amen? The Bible emphasized being before doing. Being a Christian before doing Christian things. This is very important that we understand this. Because a lot of us have trouble with our Christian walk because they don't understand the constitution of the kingdom of God. Amen? They think by doing a lot of things, this is going to make them a Christian. They think by going to church, they think that they can be a Christian. Not that would like me to trying to fly. Me not being a bird. I can sing, I can fly, but if you don't have a wing, you cannot fly. Amen? Because I'm trying to do something before being something. This is the process that is so essential in our Christian walk. That we understand this process. That I must be a Christian and then I will act like a Christian. This is first the attitude and then the action. You need to have that attitude before you can act. This is first the character, then the abilities. This is first the fruit, then there's the gifts. So God wants us to understand that there's a process in coming to the kingdom of God. And these are the process. You must be born again. You cannot be born again unless you come by way of repentance. There is no other way into the kingdom of God. You have to come by way of repentance. Then you have to recognize that you have a need. You have to recognize that only God's mercy can help you and me. You have to fall in our face and say, God, I sin against you. I want you to come into my life. I accept Jesus as my Lord. I humble myself. And out of that, I receive his gift. And I become a Christian. Amen? Now, because I am a Christian, my attitude changed. I don't have to lie anymore. I don't have to let my desire for those drinks anymore. I don't have the desire to go happy hour to make me happy anymore. Amen? A lot of people, after office work, they have to stop by at the happy hour because they want to be happy. But then when they go home, may hangover. So they seek again happiness the following day. But God says, if you obey this, happy are you. Blessed are you. Not only that, this is you're gonna be envied by the world because of that happiness, that attitude that you have. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, you don't have to open it, just put a note, Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loves me and gave himself for me. Wow. That's so profound. That there's the God, the creator of the earth, loves me. Right, Tim? The creator of the earth loves you. Right? And then he make a statement last Friday. What is that, Tim? The statement that you said about rich? Rich by faith. See that? That guy. Amen. Even though we are not rich in money, my family is not rich in money, but we are rich in faith with God, our faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now that the position of a Christian, I am not I'm not changed. Jesus is in charge of my life. Jesus is in me. And I walk in that mind understanding, in that kind of perspective in life. Amen? Christianity is controlling me. And as we look at the subject of mercy, mercy is the one of God's title. God is merciful, but not only as God is merciful, God is holy. So we cannot say that mercy is some kind of ignoring God's law. No, it is much more important than that. Because you cannot contradict God's nature. And so mercy is one of God's attributes. God is holy. God is just. It is an adjective that describes what God is like. Mercy cannot contradict holiness. Mercy cannot contradict justice. Mercy cannot contradict righteousness. So we cannot say that mercy is that it's okay to violate the laws of God because Jesus loves you. Oh yes, he does care. Because God is righteous, he definitely cares. But he is a God of mercy. Amen? And one of the things that help us understand this is to understand mercy and what belongs to mercy. There's a story about this lady from, he works at Pastor Schuller. How many of you heard about the Crystal Cathedral? Yeah, the pastor is Schuller. Okay. She had a lady that works in his house, doing the house maintenance. And one day, he went to the church or to the office, and he saw that the guest speaker on the following Sunday is a Japanese guy who is the son of a kamikaze pilot. How many of you know what kamikaze is? Anybody? Kamikaze is the word, it's a Japanese word for a suicide pilot. You hear that? It's a suicide pilot. And he told Dr. Schuller, you know what, sir, I could not attend the service this coming Sunday because I have in my heart the hurt because one of the kamikaze pilot killed my son during the World War II. And I could not stand or I could not see that kamikaze guy coming in and sharing in the church. But Dr. Schuller said, you know what, I understand you, and I think one Sunday, that doesn't hurt you. If you don't want to come, that's okay. But then the kamikaze, son of the kamikaze pilot came in and shared about, he experienced the forgiveness of his sin. And he has a tremendous testimony on how he received the Lord Jesus Christ. So after the service, as this guy was directed to go, and then this lady, he was in front of that guy. And they said, you know what, I just want to let you know that my heart grieved and I hate you because you killed my son. And the kamikaze pilot, you know what? I'm deeply sorry. Deeply sorry about me and the rest of my country that what you have done, and I'm deeply sorry. And you know, as he hugged the woman, and then she opened her face, Dr. Schuller knows that that's the woman that she's working, that works in her home. In his home. So he said, you know what? So as the kamikaze pilot asked for forgiveness, the same thing with the woman. Ask forgiveness. See? That's the attitude that we need to have. Because I received mercy, now I can forgive somebody. And that we can forgive somebody. Amen? That's the mercy that God is talking about. And now that you will be blessed. you will be blessed as you receive mercy. That you were able to give mercy back to other people. Amen? So, in Psalms 25 verse 10, it says, all the path of the Lord are mercy and truth. Not just mercy, but mercy and truth. In Psalms 57 verse 3, he says, he shall send from heaven and save me. He reproaches the one who would swallow me up. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. So, not just mercy, but mercy and truth. They go hand in hand. You cannot just have mercy without truth. Mercy and truth should go hand in hand. Psalm 61 verse 7, it says, he shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth. Psalms 85 verse 10, it says, mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed. You really want to understand God's mercy? You have to understand that mercy and truth must go together. They kiss with each other. Psalms 89 verse 14, mercy and truth go before your face. So mercy is given by God on truth. You must come by way of repentance. You cannot have mercy without repentance. Mercy is the extent, it's not extended to his world that is outside of God's kingdom. In fact, the Bible says that you are under the wrath of God if you have not received the Lord Jesus Christ. The world is under the wrath of God, and they cannot catch this mercy until they become by way of truth. Truth that Jesus Christ died for you, for your sin and for my sin. Amen? That is why a Christian, you cannot bypass repentance. This is God's word, and the word must be accepted and obeyed. When you do mercy, it's your portion when you obey the truth. But if you reject truth and you reject God's way, mercy is not available. It is just does not come. It is hard to bring people mercy when there is no truth. Amen? Now, there are two other terms that you find together, grace and mercy. Grace is God's overshadowing forgiveness of our sin. He gives us the grace, for by grace you are been saved. Mercy is the relieving of miserable consequences of sin. It is not enough for me to be forgiven. I need a restoration. It is not enough to say, okay, son, you are forgiven. That is wonderful. We could stop there, but I need a mercy. I need to be delivered from the consequences of sin. And what is the consequences of sin? Death. Amen? Grace forgives us. You are clean before God. You are not condemned, but you're still under the consequences of sin. Mercy brings healing. See, mercy brings healing. I need to be delivered from the consequences of sin. The parable of the prodigal son, that's the best example of mercy and truth. Mercy went out and put robe in him and bring a ring on his finger and shows in his feet and says, come in, son. My son that was lost is now alive. See, there are two mercy and grace on that prodigal son parables. Amen? When we experience mercy through repentance, that will be the spirit where we live if we experience it. That is why there are so many problems in Christianity today, because we have bypassed repentance. Without repentance, we cannot experience mercy. We don't see the constitution of the kingdom of God that bring us into chain reaction over other blessing in our life. Amen? So that's only we can experience mercy. When we obey the things that God has given to us. Amen? What do you think? Sometimes we think, why should I repent? I did not sin. Right? So if we don't have nothing to repent, that means there is no need for God, right? Why should God send His Son in this earth if you have not sinned? Is there anybody here that have not sinned? Anybody? Sin is not about robbing people. Right? Sin that God is talking about is that when we refuse the work of Jesus Christ in the Calvary, then we sin against God. Amen? It's only God that pays for our sin. When we refuse Him, that God, Jesus Christ, is here to forgive our sin. Sin is rejecting Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? God is not talking to you today. And for young people today, if you are having trouble with self-image, it is not a matter of pumping you up and saying how good you are, how wonderful you are. It is getting Christ in you. It's getting you to trust Jesus Christ, getting you to rely on the Lord that cannot live without the Lord. But with Him, you can stand tall. With Him, you can accomplish what God wants you to do. With Him, you can overcome. With Him, you can do everything. But without Him, you cannot read all the books about self-esteem you want to, and it's going to be to leave you empty. We are nothing without Jesus Christ, and we cannot bypass this process. Amen? It's only through repentance where we can enjoy life. Amen? You can go anywhere, but without Jesus Christ, you're still empty. You can have that house, right, Tim? You can have all that money. If you don't have Jesus Christ, right, Apple? Amen? We don't have Jesus Christ, nothing. You're empty. Amen? But if you have Jesus Christ in your life, they can assign you to Tombakto or wherever it is, you're still happy. Amen? You can still happy. If you don't have Jesus Christ in your life, you're still empty. Amen? Shall we all stand? Can we ask the brother Ray?